Community Matters. Solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging PER, here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on your encouraging PER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we are talking with Tina of the African Children's Choir. We had them last year, and it was one show. I think it was around this time. They were doing a concert at a church in Manassas, and they're coming back again this year to do that to do another concert at Manassas Baptist Church. And I wanted to kind of bring her in to reiterate what they do and their story and what you know they do for these kids, and give her a chance to kind of talk more about that and even promote the concert just a little bit. And so without further ado, Tina, how you doing today?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me as a representative on your program for the African Children's Choir concert coming up. We appreciate that so much, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you guys for coming back. I know we had you all last year, and I think it was actually around this time as well. But for any listeners who may not remember or may not know, what is African Children's Choir?
Yes, we are a faith-based nonprofit humanitarian organization. And we primarily raise money to support education programs for children who have been left impoverished and possibly even orphaned across mostly East Africa. We have worked over our history in 7 different African countries, helping children that do not otherwise have the opportunity to receive an education because of their family situations, economics or death or disease. These children are not able to even go to a government school because you still need to pay for a uniform, pencils, paper, books, that kind of thing. And those things are just beyond the means of the families that we're reaching. And so we have all of these children with all kinds of potential and no way to actualize that potential. And so Music for Life, African Children's Choir, we are focused on trying to support as many education programs as we can, as many children as we can. And I think one important thing is that, you know, the children on the stage, they do receive an education through college once they become a choir member. But while they're out on tour, the money that they're raising actually helps support 1,000 other children back home. So it's not just the children that you see on the stage that are being helped. It's hundreds of other children every year, too, receiving an education because of the work of the choir. And so the generosity of our communities and our host churches and our host families is what allows us to accomplish that goal. And so we are compelled by the love of Christ to do what we can to educate some of those children who will then go on to probably help educate others in their family and provide resources for them. So we're throwing that first stone in the river, right? And watching the ripple effect. Over 35 years now, we have helped educate over 52,000 children. And we have about approximately 1,200 former choir members. So, we one life at a time. And hopefully what we're doing is creating this group of future Christian leadership, a group of future Christian leaders for the communities, the cities, the countries, the continent of Africa. And so as much as we're interested in that one child's life, and as important as that is, there's another target too, and that's really to affect positive change in Africa and some of the challenges that it faces. And so we hope that we're being faithful and good stewards and doing that with integrity and great joy. You know, the children are amazing to work on behalf of, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you come to be involved with them?
You know, I was in college ministry, and one of the students in our ministry said, "Hey, there's this African children's choir performing at this church in the neighboring town. Do you guys want to go tonight? We were having a Bible study." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's do it." I was actually, interestingly, I'm American, but I was born in Africa. My dad was in the military.
Wow.
So anything African, you know, kind of always raised my curiosity and children, of course. So I went that night. This was back in the early 90s. And I had never seen anything like I saw that night. I never forgot that concert. I couldn't tell you a song or a dance or a costume or anything like that. I just remember the spirit of the children and the joy and just their soul, you know, that came off the stage. And they came into my area a few more times over the next 12 years. And the third time I saw them, it was time to make a shift. And it's like, this is the only thing in all these years that has even tipped the scale, right, of what I've been doing. And I couldn't wait to get out on the road with the children. And that was 16 years ago.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been able to see those children that I went on tour with back in 2003. They're now either in college or have graduated from college. So I've seen the full circle myself and, you know, met them in Uganda when they were 7 to 10 years of age and toured with them for their whole tour. And then I've been really blessed to be able to go back to Africa a few times now and have seen the children about 5 times since tour. And they have become amazing young people, and I think they will, in fact, make a very positive difference in their communities, and that's pretty wonderful to see.
That's cool. So, so, just for a little bit of perspective for our listeners, what is kind of the situation that they're facing in Africa that kind of where that you guys are really pulling them out of and helping give them an education?
Yeah, you know, again, you know, even a government school, I think, you know, here in the West, we think education, you know, it's basically acceptable to anyone, right? Anyone can go to a public school, and if you can't afford a private school, that is just not the case. And I don't think I understood that as a Western person when I first got involved. I didn't see the perceived need of education as clearly as I came to understand. And so in the areas where we're working, again, because even the government schools require a uniform and these other elements, you know, pencil, paper, books, those kinds of things, the families that we're dealing with, many single-parent families, could be that a child lives with a grandmother while the parents are trying to work, you know, somewhere else and make money. They're left out of the system. And so I never really fully understood what roadblocks were in their way to get an education, but it really is blocked off for them. And many of the government schools aren't really as a quality of school as they could be. So most people want to send their child to a private school for a better education. Well, then you have school fees. And that's really out of the question for these families who really are trying to just get a meal on the table every day at the end of the day. So they're working some kind of menial task to make a little bit of money, and then they eat at night, maybe some very meager things in the morning and at the noon hour. But so they're pretty, you know, pretty humble backgrounds, pretty meager subsistence. And to me, the main thing is that no one knows what lies in each child, what potential there is, and if it's never actualized, if it's never given the opportunity to bloom, we'll never know what's in that child and what that ability is and what their God-given purpose is. And so, to me, I really see us as not just providing education, but we are providing an opportunity for that child to become all that God created them to be. And who better to invest in than the children? That is the future of Africa. That's the future of any of our countries, right, and our cultures. And so it's very strategic, very intentional that we love these children well and give them opportunity to invest back in their own communities. So I love that. I love that we don't really camp. You know, it is true that they're from very humble, very impoverished backgrounds. But I love that we focus on the beauty, the dignity, and the potential of the African child. Isn't that a good place to camp? Many of our images, you know, and the media are of Africa's challenges, and that's all we see. And we don't get the other side of the richness of their culture and how connected they are in community and how they raise their children and the beautiful depth of the culture. We often don't see that painted. And so I think when people see these children on that stage and they see and experience, kind of feels the hope and the joy, you know, in spite of their circumstances, you know, most Westerners are very gripped by that. Like, well, how can you possibly be happy if you don't have enough food or you don't have a nice house or you don't have a car? You know, that's kind of where we come from. We're like, well, wait a minute. Maybe they have a wealth of soul that maybe we've lost in the West. Maybe we're wealthy materially, but at the soul level, are we as wealthy as they? I'm not so sure. So something very unique happens. It's much more than a musical performance. It's an experience at the soul level. And I think people really are, the Western audience is quite gripped by these very unassuming, very innocent children who just exude joy and hope and resiliency. And it causes us to rethink some of our priorities and some of our complaints in our lives. And, you know, it just, it unmasks the soul a little bit. And so I love that our concert isn't just entertainment. It's an inspiration. And it's an invitation to people. How often do you get to make a profound difference in somebody's life? How many times do you get to do that? I don't think we get to do a lot of profound things, you know, but we invite people to invest in one of these children's lives and to make a profound difference. We're not changing the trajectory of these lives at 1 degree. It's 180 degrees. If they receive an education, the world opens up for them to be able to be self-sustaining, to have the basic safe place to live, basic food, basic medical care. I mean, we're not talking a rich, wealthy life in American terms, but we're talking being able to support oneself adequately and to help others. So that's pretty dramatic change, you know. So we invite people to come in to invest with us, not to give out of a, you know, out of charity or, you know, kind of this these poor children. They're not poor in many, many ways. So, I think it's a pretty powerful performance because it has these extra elements that people maybe don't expect.
Yeah. So, and you know, I've talked a lot with people who are from ministries that deal with like theater and stage productions and stuff, and they always say that it's always cool because you know it gives kids that don't really have that way of expressing themselves, it gives them that avenue. And so I mean, since you had just talked so much about it, I'd love to get your perspective on that spirit that you saw that night when you were in the audience. You know, what you said, you will never forget their spirit. What is it that you saw?
Yeah, it was these smiles. It was this energy. It was, you know, because again, you know, at that point in time, I didn't have a lot of background of African culture. And, you know, I only knew the needs of Africa, the overwhelming needs. And I saw something different on the stage. I saw this this piece of the culture that comes out through the children. And I think it's, if I had to use one word, the resiliency. I think that's what I was really called out on that and continue to be called out. I just, as a Western person, you know, it's like I want things now, I want them fast, I want them done well. And I'm not very resilient when things don't go my way, and didn't realize that until I saw people of resiliency. And I think that night I saw this joy and hope in spite of circumstances and the innocence of those children, but they were incredible performers. So they capture your attention, but the smiles and the joy that came off that stage, I mean, they had that room rocking. And so I think seeing, you know, what I considered at that time these poor little children who don't have anything, be so joyful. And I don't think I knew it at the time, but, you know, over all these years, you know, that whole concept of, well, what defines wealth and what defines poverty from a world standard, from a biblical perspective. And it's, you know, kind of turned itself upside down for me a little bit. And, you know, which wealth am I living for? And so it's caused me to live life differently. But yeah, I think that night it was very much in the joy, the hope, the energy, the smiles. Yeah, all of that. I just kind of termed the spirit of the children that it wasn't through words, you know, it was through their actions. And yeah, it was pretty mesmerizing, honestly.
And
here I am 16 years later, still enjoying them.
Oh yeah. So yeah. That brings up an interesting point as well, because, you know, you had said that you've been able to see a lot of these kids that you've been with, you know, grow up, you know, go to college, graduate from college. So what's kind of like, what's kind of their out or take from all this?
Yeah, you know, I've had a chance to talk with a lot of former choir children of all ages. You know, our oldest children now are in their 40s because we started 35 years ago. And so, you know, the oldest, you know, members of the choir from the very first one are in their 40s all the way down to the children that are going to be, you know, coming to Manassas there, you know, who are 7 to 10 years of age. I've talked with many of them over the years, and some of the common responses, one is vision. You know, these children have maybe a 2 to 5 mile radius most of their life, and tour gives them a vision. It gives them, it opens the world to them. It gives them ideas of what they could be. And without vision, it's pretty hard to imagine beyond your borders. So I think that's been a common response. I think also the English proficiency is very critical for them in the education system. Being a former British colony in Uganda, all of the education and testing, national testing that students have to take is all in English. So if you don't know English, you're not going to do well and advance academically. So tour is incredible for their English proficiency skills. I think also exposure, you know, to, I guess this is partly about the vision, but just exposure to so many different people, confidence that's built in speaking to people, the maturity in their understanding of scripture and discipleship and God's love for them, God's character. We work really diligently on tour. That's kind of the part that I oversee. I'm a small cog in the wheel here, but I get to create on tour what these children are exposed to spiritually. And we select our volunteer staff that travel with them as their family very carefully. And they are there to represent Christ day in and day out by their actions. And then we have family devotions every morning. And so we have a very specific program that we introduce the children to. It's like, what is God really like? Because I want them to just not just know right from wrong, but who is this loving God that has created me for great things? And what is he really like? And so we go through that, and then preparing them to go back home, you know, what can they do when they go back home, and how will they live life well? What will that look like? And so we're very, very intentional in the things that we walk the children through, and they just mature so much over the course of that time. So that's the fun part for me. I think, you know, they, watching them gain vision, watching them gain confidence, watching them gain academics and English, and they just grow up right before your eyes. And I think it sets, I had one of them say to me, you know, the aunties and uncles set bumpers for us. When we got to secondary school, we didn't realize that other students didn't have these buffers around them. And we're kind of going off in all different kinds of directions. And he said, but the aunties and uncles gave us bumpers. And we know, you know, we know right from wrong, we know good from bad, and we can choose wisely, we can make good decisions for our lives. And I thought that was a pretty neat way of saying it. So they're given a lot of love, a lot of personal attention, a lot of just a lot of care every day. And that makes a big difference in a child's life, you know. And it's not that their families don't care for them or love them, but it's very difficult to provide for them. And are, you know, they have to be gone working much of the time. So children are not, you know, raised quite the same because of that. And so they're introduced to a huge, big African Children's Choir family that really does become their large extended family for the rest of their lives. That's they never age out of African Children's Choir. They're part of our family forever, really.
So one thing you had mentioned is the concert that's coming up on May 31st. So would you like to talk a little bit about that as well?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think anybody would ever be disappointed if they went to an African Children's Choir concert. It's just so entertaining. The children, we've just launched a new program this year called Just As I Am. It's a hymns program. We've taken some of the favorite familiar hymns and put them to African rhythms. We had an artist in Uganda rearrange these hymns and make arrangements for the children specifically. And they're just, I mean, who doesn't like African drumming and rhythm, you know? It's very engaging. The children do a drum ensemble. They do a traditional dance from their country. There's three different costumes that are just gorgeous and full of color. And, you know, they just look so regal in these costumes. And so it's very engaging as an entertainment, you know, an entertaining concert. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's inspiring, and it's an invitation to let's see Africa through a different lens, and what can I do to make a profound difference in one of these children's lives? So it's quite an evening, really.
All right. So outside of this concert as well, and I assume you'll probably at the concert also have some materials of how our listeners can get involved, but what are some ways that our listeners will be able to get involved with you guys and help out?
Yes, we have a sponsorship program. And so for, you know, a certain amount per month, you can sponsor one of our children, either a choir child or one of the children back home that they represent. And it's a monthly program. You give $35 or $50 a month to sponsor a child. And of course, you know, they write the letters back and forth and a Christmas gift and these kinds of things. We also have Friend of the Choir, where people can, maybe they can't do a full sponsorship amount of money, but they would like to help us on our ongoing ministry. And so they can become a Friend of the Choir and give what amount they desire to each month. We also are always looking for volunteers, people who would like to come out and travel with us and be the caretakers of the children on the road. Always looking for bus drivers and sound technicians and people that can help teach and educate the children on the road. And there's some other positions too, administrative positions and leadership positions on the road. So always looking for volunteers. And so, yeah, there's lots of ways of being involved.
Okay. So I have one last question for you. And I at least have heard a lot of passion as you've talked about this. And so I'd like to get just one last little tidbit from you. Why does what you do with the African Children's Choir mean so much to you?
I think we were created for glorious things and for meaningful things that will outlast us. And I think this allows me to be involved in something that is doing just that. I think that it's not about me. It's about bringing glory to the Lord Jesus, and I believe he cares deeply about people of all nations and all colors and all races, and I get to be involved in a small way in his heart for the world, and to see children blossom and become what I believe God intended them to be able to be a part of that process. It is not hard to get up in the morning and to do that unto him and for the benefit of the children. So it's meaningful, significant, eternal work. And I am so thankful to be able to be involved day to day and to have some level of, I get to help create the tour atmosphere. And I take that responsibility very seriously. And so, yeah, I think just having an outlet to do something as significant as this is really very meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Tina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Josh, thank you. Thank you for helping us get the word out. We look forward to being in Manassas. We hope everybody comes out, fill the seats, have a wonderful night, be entertained, be inspired, and come join us in the process of releasing the potential of these children.
Well, as she said, you can go to africanchildrenschoir.com, find all about how you can get involved. You can sponsor a child, check out the choir, and then they've got that concert coming up on May 31st at Manassas Baptist Church. So go ahead and check them out. They'll be at the table, or they'll have a table, and you can go on there and find out everything that you would want to know and have a little bit of fun with these kids and get to hear them sing. So go online, check it out, and go to the concert on the 31st. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Community Matters on Your Encouraging PER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, at positivehits.org. This show will be posted to our website. You can go to yourper.com, go to resources at the top, select Community Matters, and it'll be the first show to appear on the list of shows at the bottom. And you can re-listen to the show, share it with a friend, catch up on parts you missed. I'll also include a link to African Children's Choir there as well. So if you're driving, you don't have to remember everything. It'll all be right there for you. So I want to thank everyone again for tuning in, and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend and drive safe.